following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
So, stories. We are talking about stories. One of the most, I would say, most profound times that I remember visiting the CBC campuses. So I got to visit the Ecuador campus a couple times and the Canada campus a couple of times because I was the one from North Park who was supposed to try to get those students to come to North Park, which worked better for American students than Canadian students, even when the Canadian dollar was a little bit stronger. But one of the things that they do, and they set aside time every single week to do, is to share stories. And so over the course of the year, the students at CBC, which is Covenant Bible College, not Columbia Bible College in Abbotsford, this is Covenant Bible College, which had three campuses at one point, they would share their stories, which was testimonies in a way, the ways that God was working in their lives. And it was really profound to be able to sit and listen to the way that God was working in the lives of these young adults. Most of them just out of high school, but not all of them. Some were older than that. But stories are really one of the most effective means of communication, right? Stories communicate emotion different than facts maybe do. We cry and we laugh at movies and at books and at TV shows, even sometimes the last episode of The Office. Erica and I watched that through the other day, and both of us were tearing up at the end of a show as ridiculous as The Office. But because we have been a part of that story, we can get so caught up in people telling their own stories, right? Like, that's how we can build a connection with other people. Stories inform, right? And they educate. There are things like parables that we know a lot about because we went through a number of them this summer. Fables, histories, are stories that teach us things. Stories inspire and they encourage. We learn and we hear stories about people who have been through really tough things and because of their story are able to help and bring other people through those tough things with them. Stories can be dreams that they can share with one another and encourage people to dream with them. A year and a half ago, I spoke down at Cascades Camp in Yelm. And I was the speaker for one of their junior high weeks, which was, it was super fun. I had a blast. But the first night, I remember I shared a lot about myself, but it was a whole list of facts. I like to play frisbee. I have a wife named Erica. Other facts. It was a long list, really long speaking time that night. But I realized the next day, and I actually spoke to this the next night, that by sharing that list of facts, none of the kids knew me. They had no connection to me. They saw me as just another adult who was spewing information at them, and they could have cared less. And there was a little bit of a tinge of hurt pride at that. Like, oh man, I told you some good facts about me. Like, you should connect with those facts. But most of me understood that, right? I got the idea that they needed to connect with me on a personal level. So that night, because it fit in really well with the rest of the week, I shared the story about my brother Peter, that many of you know. And so I've tried to, since then, use stories more consistently as I talk about myself. I thought it was really wonderful when I was at the collab thing where a number of youth pastors and leaders from around the Lower Mainland gathered a couple weeks ago. We had to share where we were from and how we met Jesus. So there was a fact in there, and there was some reason for that fact, but it was more so we were sharing a story. And we were sharing the most important story we possibly could. but how we met Jesus. Stories are also how legacies live on. At Frank Koop's memorial on Wednesday, we heard a lot of stories. We heard a lot of stories about a great man who did a great many things, who impacted a lot of people. And some of those stories I knew because those stories had been shared with me before even we were in that space. I felt like I knew what Frank Koop was about because of the stories shared about him. The Bible is the story of humanity's relationship with God. And it is the story of God and how those intersect. In the reading from Luke earlier, Luke is telling Theophilus why he is going to start telling his story. Because he needs Theophilus to know this stuff. Because this is the most important thing that Luke could ever hope to pass on. Luke is sharing a story because this is the way it will be remembered. It will be remembered in story. And story is maybe the only way we can begin to communicate the complex realities of who God is and who Jesus is through stories, through the way the stories that Jesus teaches, through the stories that we read about Jesus interacting with people, and through the stories of the way Jesus has interacted with us. And so today, we're going to talk about and we're going to share, hopefully, some stories. So I'm going to open it up now, which is perhaps the most terrifying thing up on a podium. But if you have a story that you want to share, please come on up here. I'll sit in the stool, or you can, you know, shoo me off down below if you want.
But the Lord tells me that I should. So that's why I'm here. And first of all, I want to say thank you so much that you want to listen to me. And I feel honored. See, I'm not used to this, Eric. So first of all, I want to say that we have a great pastor. And the Lord gave him to us, and he's a wonderful guy. You can talk to him anytime you want, and very easy to approach. And so is his little wife, Erica. So I loved him dearly. So, and also, we have quite a few pastors came to this church. And the one, of course, comes in my mind is Pastor Albert. He was a great friend also. And we missed him very much and still do. And it all came back when we were at Frank Koop's funeral. And so there we were, and Lori Koop sang a song, His Eye is on the Sparrow. It's one of my favorite. Also, it was Frank's favorite, but I didn't know. And I thought, oh, I hope she's going to sing that song about the eye on the sparrow. And yes, so she did. I went up to her. I said, thank you so much, because that song does a lot for me personally. So that one thing that popped up in my mind. Also, I feel always honored that so now and then that we are allowed to serve the Lord's Supper, my husband and I. And it for me is a really great honor to me personally. And also that I may be a greeter on the door. And I see so many smiling, wonderful faces all the time, and it blesses me personally. So this church is to me in sadness and in wonderful things we can share. Another thing is the Bible study. I love the Bible study. It's a blessing personally also to me, and that we can open up and tell each other about sad things, glad things, and that we sincerely pray about it all. And it's wonderful to have so many family here. It is a family. It's not a church. It's God's family. And I've had to bring it up that I love them all so much. I have great friends here If there is something, we can talk about it. We can, you know, we can be open about it, and it doesn't go anywhere else. And I love hymns. I have to say one thing. That I love hymns. So I hope so now and then that we can sing a hymn, because that would want to be not just for me, but also for Hank, my husband. We have also, this should be important, that I have 4 children, 2 boys and 2 girls, we, Hank and I, and we have 8 grandchildren, 4 boys and 4 girls, and then on top of that we have 4 great grandchildren. So we're very blessed, and God has been very good to us in this country. And sorry that I have an accent, but that's what they call me, the lady with the accent. That was Noah. Noah was in church a couple of weeks ago, and then Charlene asked, who did you talk to? And he said, the lady with the accent. So she, like, so she knew exactly who that was, so she told me that. So I hope God bless you, and I make it short, and I had nothing on paper, so that's the way I am. So God bless you all, and if there is anything I can do for any of you, need prayer or whatever it is, I'm there for you. So God bless you all, and I love my Jesus. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Trent Brown, and I've been going to this church like forever, since I was a Christian, so I could go on and on about that. I look at around the table. It's like a table. But anyways, I'm going to just revert back to 2 weeks ago. I have a story for you. 2 weeks ago on a Sunday, Caleb decided to start studying for his English final on the Monday, which is probably about 10 at night. And the Monday. Yeah, so in fine form, his English provincial was the Monday. The week prior, which he had a whole week to prepare for this, the week prior, we encouraged him to speak to his plumbing teacher from grade 11 to get a couple contacts, because he has enough credits to graduate after this semester, which is fantastic. So he called the plumber, or met with him, got a couple contacts. Prior to studying for his English final, he decided to send out some resumes and cover letters with the screening process through me and then Helen to look at these cover letters and resumes. After his English exam, he received a call on Tuesday, answer to one of the emails to come and for an interview on the Wednesday morning. So he met with a gentleman on the Wednesday morning, got a call Wednesday afternoon to start a job on Thursday as a plumbing apprentice. And now, meanwhile, of course, I am in Victoria at meetings, so Helen's by herself during this time, which, bless her heart, she's there. So when good things happen, husbands has to be away. So just, it's an answer to prayer that Caleb has been doing his plumbing apprentice, and he commutes to South Surrey here to, there's a 2.5-year project that he's working on as a plumbing apprentice, so it's even no bridges to cross. But through this whole week, couple weeks, he's been adjusting to working life, getting up early, laborious jobs, and it's just, we're blessed for this to happen to him, and our church family has been praying for him, so please continue to pray for safety on the work site now that he's there, and thank you for that.
Thanks, Trent.
He does have a little bit of dark shirt. Wasn't planned that way at all, but you know,
it's not exactly
looks
the same.
Better in him. Okay, so hello, brothers and sisters. It's good to be here. I'm incredibly nervous, but God's called me here to stand here in front of you today. So, I haven't stood in front of a congregation since I was 7 years old. Was something in the church I was in Calgary, asked people to come forward and kids to come up with a thing to talk about. So I was living with my mother at the time and just my sister, and I picked scripture to do with patience because my mom had a bit of a temper. So, you know, I figured it was maybe if I stood in front of everybody and said something, it might change a little bit. I don't know. I'm really struggling right now in my life. And I started coming back here in the last few months. And before that, I was in camp for 2 years. And just prior to that, I went through probably one of the hardest times in my adult life. I lost my ex, and my two daughters went with her. It was the second time around for me. The first time was with my first ex and my son. So I've been dealing with that, and I really fell. I fell far, and I didn't think I was going to come back from it, to be honest. I somehow managed to find some help. It wasn't through here. I had to go a different road. I went through different mental health places to help with depression, anxiety, some previous trauma from my childhood. And it helped a lot. But I know God was always with me. He always was. So when I left and I went up north, I went to a place where you pretty much put your life on hold. You know, you work and you come home for a little time, but you're home for so quickly that the time goes by so fast. So my life really was on hold for that time. And near the end of my second year up there, I could feel things weren't going right. I was going to places I should not be. I was involved with people I should not have been involved with. So it so happens now I'm here, and I actually ended up moving like 2 minutes from the church. I actually got up this morning and, you know, 10:25, I'm like, oh, better get going, out the door, and I'm here. So it sort of worked out, you know. But the men's Bible study was kicked off here, and I was able to come. And I got to tell you, you know, ever since I stepped foot in this church and been involved with this congregation, even some of the people that aren't here any longer, I know you all are really true good Christians. I've been so blessed to meet you all. I really have. And to the men in the Bible study, I thank you so much for your presence and the words that you share. And you're an inspiration. And I really want to be a better man and a better Christian. I'm praying for God to be a part of my life even more so than he already is. And I'm really hoping to change and do away with this sinful nonsense because it's just to the detriment of me, unfortunately. So please pray for me. And thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You want stories? How long you got? When we came to this church, it was because a church we belonged to had died. That is the saddest thing in the world, to lose your family. And we thanked God, my husband and I, for the wonderful years we'd had there. And said, thank you, God. It'll never be the same, but thank you. And he brought us here in January 1992, and we've been here ever since, 24 years. And God provided us with new family and a new beginning. In all those years, we've suffered losses, family losses. In fact, we've had two quite recently. Walked with my daughter through two losses last year, her mother-in-law and her sister-in-law. We've lost a baby nephew. I've lost an aging father and a stepmother in December. And in all of those times, God has been faithful. He holds us up. And one of the most important things I can ever remember is God telling us in his word, in everything, give thanks. Not for everything, because we've been through some tough times. Gordon's cancer, striking when he was in a telephone man and we had two small children. He went on strike for 6 months. But God has always provided and always been faithful. And the finances are the least of that. The number one provision is God's peace. You walk through it with a serenity you did not expect. I've had some wonderful teachers in this church, notably my sister Kathy McCauley, who has taken me under her wing, who when Bible study was beginning, I've been a part of that for probably over 20 years, and Kathy said, you can lead, come on, you can do this. And watching her wonderful, impressive leadership, she was very hard to follow. Big shoes to fill. Sorry, Kathy, I don't mean you have big feet. But big shoes to fill. But God provided her encouragement and his leadership. And every week at Bible study, we fall more and more in love with him as we study his word. My story hasn't finished yet, but the part up to now, I wouldn't trade it for the world. I wouldn't change one thing because I know God has proven himself and been so real in the hard times, even more so than the good ones, when you think you've done it on your own. But the hard times, let him prove himself to you, and he will. Amen.
Thanks, Francis.
Okay, so I was reluctant to share because every time I'm up here, I start to cry. So we keep this brief. I apologize to this person in advance for outing them. Not Kevin. Sorry, you're safe. But I look at all these faces. Every one of you have come alongside us as a family. Immeasurable times with meals and prayers and through custody issues and health issues. And then usually by the end of the service, I'm quite tired. It's getting up and getting here, and it's quite an ordeal. I kind of hover in here instead of heading out to where there's a lot of noise and commotion. And so I haven't had a chance quite often to talk to people on Sundays, and there's one person in particular who, for some reason over the years, I never really got a chance to know. But despite that, she's come along in my life and has really rescued me, and she selflessly calls me and sends me emails, and knows exactly what I need at this strange point in my life. And I would really prefer not to go down this route because it's a lot of abuse that I suffered from my mother and continue to. But she hooked me up with Al-Anon and orchestrated a meeting with one of her close friends to get me alongside and to understand the program, helped me get the books that I needed, and walks with me every week, every Wednesday. I know she's there. And that's exactly what God needs from us. She probably has 1,000 other things. In fact, I know she has 1,000 other things going on in her day, yet she chose me. And she doesn't even know me, and I never even got the time over the years to get to know her. So thank you, Ellie. You have no idea.
Thank you. How much time did you say I had? So, well, I'll try not to talk as much as I normally do, which is hard. But as I worship here today, and I hear the stories, and I look around me at all you wonderful, wonderful brothers and sisters in the Lord. This church is God's church, but he brought each and every one of you here, and Dan and I can share in the love and the care. So my story are a bunch of little vignette stories. I'm going to probably miss somebody, but I just wanted to share just a little bit of the impact that this church has had on our lives. Dan and I were both Christians, and we had been at another church, a very large church. I grew up in a little church. I found myself, we were faithfully attending, and I just felt lost and never really connected. Probably didn't help that both Dan and I were shift workers, so weren't always there or for functions. But we had retired, and I said, we really need, actually Dan said, we need to find another church. We'd attended a different one that had no parking. So I used to drive past here, and I'd say, there's a church up there on 16 that has lots of parking. So I came one Sunday. Dan was still trucking at that point. So I came by myself just to scope it out. And I didn't know anybody. But for some reason, they gave us a directory. And in there was Jeannie Titi's name. And Jeannie Titi had taught my daughters piano. So I thought, oh, okay. So a few more months went by. And I think it was right after Christmas, 2005, January, we started to come. The first person, of course, that greeted us and kept us coming back was Albert Josephson and his love. And oh, he made everybody feel like they were the most important person to him. And so anyways, we started coming, and I actually said to Dan, so what do you think after the first Sunday? He said, well, they preached the gospel. I'd like to hear a little more. So we kept coming. And the funny thing is, every Sunday, people would greet us and say hello, and I would have to ask them their name over and over and over again, a bunch of months. Memory's not so good. But one thing about Gert Koop, Gert and Frank were sitting over on this side of the church, and we were sitting here. She came up and said, welcome, I'm Gert Koop. And I always remembered that. Now, John Main told me a story. John, can you hear me? Have you got your hearing aid on? Oh, good. Because you said hello to me that day, and I didn't remember. So what was the point? So I'm sorry. So that was our very first day here. And I remember Gordon had, they had their grandson here. And two or three times over the months, I would say, I'm sorry, what's your name again? And I can't even imagine not knowing Gordon now. So we kept coming. And that summer, I thought, okay, I'm free. I could come and help with Daily Vacation Bible School. So I'm not all that particularly gifted in anything, but I could help in the kitchen. So I helped in the kitchen with Connie Main, who you all know. And it was at that first Bible kids vacation Bible school that I met Helen. And Helen clued me in about her two sisters and her parents. Who knew? I didn't know. I'm new here. So I got, and I was so excited to tell Dan. She has two sisters, and they have her parents come here, and it's such a wonderful big family. So that was my introduction to the Seiler clan. Oh, I thought that was awesome. And a little while later, when the kids still had Bible study, Kathy McCauley, I think it was Kathy, maybe Charlene, but from the Bible study, Sunday school, I'm sorry, they gave out cards of children's names that we were supposed to pray for. And I thought, I don't really know these people, but okay, I'll take, after a little while, we took a name. And we got Matthew. What a blessing that is. Hi, Matthew. I'm happy to see you here today. So, let's see, there was a couple of other things I wanted to mention. That first year, we came in January. In November, Frances, her giving heart and spirit, she invited us over for a little do. But she first asked Dan. That was smart, because you always have to check with Dan first. You know, first he says yes, and then I say, oh, good, that sounds good. And so we went, and we met Walter and Joan, and we met Connie. Well, I'd kind of known Connie and John, and Katrina and Stephen. So we met a core group of people, and we had a wonderful time. And those four older couples, we became known as the Rat Pack. I thought it was because Dan was black. No, it wasn't that. A rat had crossed our paths one day when the eight of us were together, the rat pack. So I told you I could talk and talk. But and then others have come, new people, old people. One time we were on vacation in Moab, and I couldn't Moab, Utah, and I couldn't sleep. So I thought and prayed for every single person in this church. I mean, isn't that amazing that you can come to a church where you know everybody by name? And that's how God knows each one of us by name. What a wonderful thing that is. And I could go on and on, but one story I shared at Breakthrough. Oh, my husband's giving me the eye. One story I shared at Breakthrough, one of the little stories that I have a bad memory, but Bruce was still our pastor, and it was Christmas, and he sat up here in a rocking chair, and the little ones, we had a bunch of little ones from the Silers, thank you for all your grandchildren, they came up, and it was little Hannah. She was just a toddler, and she climbed into Bruce's lap while he read the a Christmas story. I mean, I just picture that, and it was such a wonderful, moving moment. And I think that might have been the same one or another evening when we had a banquet, and Rich Drinovs played the part of, I'm not even sure what you were, but you did an awesome job. It was wonderful. Oh, a story about Kathy. Like, when we were new, Kathy and her husband, Rich, and their three sons, they were still younger, because this is 11 years ago. They were all sitting there, and I thought, oh, this looks like a nice family. Well, I had finished my career as an immigration officer, but I now needed to fill in my time, so I was a coffee lady at Save-On. Kathy came in, and I recognized her. She didn't know who I was. I said, oh, excuse me, you're Kathy, aren't you? She must have thought I was nuts. But she said, yeah, I'm Kathy with a K. I've never forgotten that. Thank you, Kathy, for that. So, and my last one is the care and support that you have all given us when Dan had his collapse 3 years ago on the 12th of February. And but God was faithful. He saw us through. And I just want to thank everybody.
Well, that was a little bit more than I ever could have expected. Thank you to all who shared. I think this is going to be something we're going to make a part of our regular rhythm together, quarterly or something like that, because I do see a lot of value in being able to share the stories of ourselves and the stories of our life together, and most importantly, the way that our stories intersect with the ultimate story, God's story. Let me pray for us as we continue in worship. God, our Creator, the author of our stories, we thank you that you are a part of each and every one of our lives. God, we thank you that you call us into your story. God, I ask that I am more mindful of the ways that you are at work in my story, and that my story is no longer just my story, but my story is our story. Story of relationship with you, God. Story of your work in me, your work through me. God, I pray that for me and for us as a church, that our stories would be your stories, God. We pray this all in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.